community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Now it's part two of the book club, because I'm joined by author Mark Butterworth, and he's here to talk about his book called The Pearl River. So, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Before we talk about your book, when did you get the writing bug? Is this something that happened later in life, or have you always written?
Well, I would say, first of all, I've always been a keen reader. And then I think from there it follows, you know, you enjoy writing. And I worked in the City of London, actually, in financial services, Lloyd's of London, you know. And 8 to 10 years ago, I was commissioned to write a couple of business books. So through that, I learned what you might think of the self-discipline process as working over 6 months of writing a book as a project, working with editors and publishers and so on. So I kind of learned the trade in that route. Then when COVID came, like many people, I thought about what to do at home, and I thought it was time to write this novel that had been buzzing around in my head, you know, for a number of years. And so, I started that about a year and a half ago.
And did you write any fiction before that? Had you written little short stories?
No. My background was, I've had articles published in business journals, even once in the Financial Times. So it was very focused on, you know, business. Yeah. But even the business books that I wrote, I felt that you still needed to tell a story, you know, for the people to understand where you were going with your messages. Mm. I've done some short and long creative writing courses. You know, picking up tips, guidance, and improving my technical knowledge of the English language and punctuation and those sorts of things, you know. Yeah. And I should say, I have a terrific editor as well to help me with that.
The idea for your book, how did it come about? Were you laying in bed going, actually, I've just got this idea come into my head? Or did it come in pieces, or did it come as you were writing it?
Right. Well, first of all, I should say that it's called The Pearl River because the action is set in Singapore and Hong Kong, mainly Hong Kong. And it's the Pearl River that separates Hong Kong Island from the mainland. Now, it's a historical fiction, so it's based on the true exploits of an RAF squadron, the Spitfire Squadron, which was there in 1949-50, which is the period I'm writing about. But there's a key issue here, Michelle, I should say, is that my father was one of the pilots in Hong Kong. And for readers of the book, if they look on the back cover, they'll see a little picture of a pilot getting into his Spitfire. That's my dad.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, it's great. But so I knew about the history, but like all historical fiction, it's the fiction that you create. So all of the characters in the book are from my imagination, if you will, and the exploits. Some of the historical things going on at the time are brought into the book, World Affairs. It is an action and romance novel, but really a commentary on social affairs as well. It was post-war. The armed forces were being reduced, and the story is about these two Spitfire pilots and their uncertain future, and then particularly so when along comes the mysterious dark-haired girl, Hannah Shaw, and I won't say too much about how she influences the story, but she's absolutely key to the romantic side of things, let's say.
Do you actually have like a space where you say, today I'm going to sit for 4 hours... It doesn't matter if I don't write anything, I have to sit there and do it. Because I find the fact of people writing books of how they discipline themselves to actually do it.
I've done an online creative writing course presented by Lee Child, the author of the Jack Reacher stuff. Yeah. And he says, you've got to treat it as a job. Now, that suited me very well because of my experience in working in London. So every Monday morning in my notebook, I set out the plan for the week. And sometimes that's like the word counts, keep things pushing along, what research I might have to do, meetings I need to go to, and so on. And so I find that having a structure to the week helps with that discipline of sitting down and writing. Mm. So, in fact, I work in my dining room, on the dining room table at home. Sometimes I live in Chelmsford in Essex, you know, I sometimes go into Chelmsford and into a coffee shop, and The background buzz is helpful. I don't want noisy interruptions, of course. Yeah. But I find that a change of scenery is good during the week. So I'll probably 50-50 at home and elsewhere. Yeah.
Now, you were saying that you're also a public speaker.
In the talk that I give, really, it's called Make the Bold Move, Write That Book.
I reckon it's going to be a book as well.
Well, yeah, thanks. Thanks for the tip. Hey, look, I've got a long list of things I want to write. I'm working on my third book at the moment. Might tell you about that. But so it's really saying, you know, so many people I talk to say, you know, I've been meaning to do that, or I've started it. A lot of people, you know, probably lots of people have said, I've started it. I said, okay, how do you move it forward? And by the way, it's going to be a long project. Mm. You know, you won't knock it out in about 3 weeks here and there. But no, I have some good friends in the writing world. I'm a member of two writing groups. One lady in particular is an author of poetry. Another is writing a family history. So, you know, there are all sorts of fields of writing. Mine happens to be largely historical fiction. And I have other friends who write non-fiction and children's books, fantasy, lots of romance, of course, yeah. You know. Yeah.
Do you see your book, The Pearl River, being a film, possibly? Is that?
I've had some great feedback on the book.
Tell us some of the reviews you've had.
Yeah, well, it's because you mentioned the potential for a film. I mean, there's one here that a reader said, it has a great plot structure and character portrayal with cinematic descriptions. So he, you know, obviously felt that, you know, the imagery generated by my descriptions of the flying action, you know, there are Spitfire flying action. And the scenes being in Singapore and Hong Kong, which I've been to 7 or 8 times myself, so I know the feel, if you will, of the Far East. And as I say, I thought it was quite a nice word, that cinematic descriptions, you know. So, maybe I've got to sell some more of the books first, and then, you know, someone might pick it up and say, yeah, do you know what, this is I think it is a popular era. It's not covered by a lot of books, you know, post-war.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of action was taking place in the world, lots of things going on. I mean, in Indian independence, what was that, 1948? Lots of, you know, things going on. The Cold War was coming. Mm. You know, other people have said the plot is clever and compassionate. The writing has great moments of tenderness. So although there's action, and that's on Amazon. I don't know who wrote that. Shall I give you another one here?
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of my favourites. It's a bit wordy, but let's go. An excellent debut novel with a pacey narrative that engages the reader from start to finish. It has a fine sense of time and place. The characters are all well-rounded, provoking a response in the reader as the story ebbs and flows. So, yeah, you know, I suppose it's a reflection of the sorts of books that I like to read myself.
Yeah.
So I think it's important when writing to stay within, you know, areas that really make you buzz yourself. And then sometimes, you know, I reread to edit my work and I don't remember writing the words. Mm. It's a flow of consciousness into my computer. I work with rough notes, first of all. I don't write out the story.
Yeah.
And then type it all in and then edit a day or two later. Yeah, let it sit there for a bit.
I was going to say, we just said about possibly a film, but who would you, to give people an idea of the characters, mm-hmm. you've got 3 main characters,
yep.
2 guys and girls. In your, sort of, in your dreams, it could be maybe a past, even somebody who's not here anymore. What would be the characters? Who would play them in a film?
Sure. Well, Robert Redford would probably, I mean, the younger Robert Redford would play Adam Devon, the hero. Yeah, you know. I'm going to say, it's come into my mind, but not an actor, at least I wouldn't call him an actor, but for Henry Fitzjohn, the wily kind of villain of the piece, Boris Johnson is the character that, you know, it's the sort of person I describe in the book in Acknowledgements. It is based on someone I know. He didn't know this. there's someone that you dislike but can't help admire them. Sometimes they get away with murder and laugh their way through life, you know. So for Henry Fitzjohn, like that. And then Hannah Shaw, well, there's an important part of her character that readers will see of a young lady I used to know, but she's based on a good friend of mine. I mean, I describe her in Acknowledgements as the beautiful pearl-wearing Hannah Shaw. And so my friend will know exactly who she is. And when I give the physical description, I'm describing my friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And have any of your friends read the book and said, that character seems to be a little bit like me? You've been working for a long time in London, so you must have met a lot of characters in the business that you worked in.
Actually, nobody said is that me? But there are about 60 named characters in this book, because there's a squadron, there's the aircraftman, and so on. I play golf, a member of a golf club up at Chelmsford there, and I've used certain characters' names, and they know obviously it's them, because I've named them. You know, it's John Smith, it's not good, but you know what I'm saying. That's been great fun. In fact, for the sequel...
You've got the sequel coming up, which is it the Berlin
Assignment? Berlin Assignment. So it's taking the main players from the Pearl River into the 1950s. The Berlin Assignment is a Cold War thriller. John le Carré, Spy Who Came Into the Cold, that sort of thing. You will know from the Bond films, of course, that Miss Moneypenny, you know, which is M's secretary. Yeah. Well, in the Berlin Assignment, we have C, the chief of MI6, or the Special Secret Intelligence Services. He has a secretary. We did a raffle at the golf club with the lady members, and the winner, the secretary, is named Kate Samways.
Oh,
what a great name.
Oh, that's amazing.
You know, I'm glad she won. You know, just like Moneypenny is a quirky kind of surname.
Yeah.
Samways, Kate Samways. So she's in the book. That's going to be published, in fact, on the 28th of February next year. So it's finished. It's all typeset, and it's going through the production processes, which, Michelle, sort of shows what I was saying earlier. It's a long process to get a book written, edited, typeset, published, and out there in the bookshops.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it has been read by two book clubs. I've had some great feedback, you know. And, you know, it doesn't all have to be flattering and wonderful, Mark, and all that sort of thing, you know, you learn all through life by people commenting, giving ideas and thoughts. And, in fact, in the second book, I will say now that Hannah appears in the second book, Hannah Shaw, and she's having a quick drink after work with some friends. And I wrote in my first draft that she had a glass of white wine with her friends. And one of my reviewers said, "This is 1952. Would she have had?" I said, no. She had a port and lemon in the, you know, and that's the sort of terrific feedback that book clubs and reviewers give you. You know, people are giving me feedback. I've seen, I think, 6 to 8 photographs of people by swimming pools, on the beach, around. I've even got a picture of the book in the back of an aircraft seat where someone's on their way on holiday.
Yeah.
So we've been promoting it as being a great holiday read at this time. Mm. Yeah, you know, this time of year.
And it's also important as well, as I say, with musicians or anybody else, if you read a book and you think, actually, I really liked it, and it doesn't matter whether it's a first time they've written a book or whether it's somebody that's really established and sells millions, they still like to get a loved your book, because it's that little bit of feedback, isn't it?
It is indeed, somebody said to me, actually, when I was writing my second business book, he read it, he said, "Mark, you've got a good pen," and it stopped me in my tracks a little bit, because I thought, what does he mean? Oh, I see. And so also, when it comes to creative writing, obviously there's character development, but your voice as well, because I write in the third person, so I'm the narrator, essentially. Mm-hmm. So the narrator has a voice. And so I enjoy that aspect of being involved, you know, with the characters. I've got to tell you that once, when writing the second book, I thought, what would Hannah do here? I wish I could ask her, like she was a real person, you know, sitting there. Well, of course, I have to ask myself, because I'm her creator. So that's the great fun about being involved with writing, you know, the development of the characters, the plot, the story, building in those twists and turns that, you know, the reviewers have mentioned. Mm. It's great. I mean, a lot of people have asked me for signed copies. I wonder why, you know, do they hope that maybe it's first edition, it's a signed copy, you know, in a few years it might be worthwhile. I mean, the Chicken and Frog bookshop in Crown Street
Natasha,
in Brentwood.
Yeah,
yeah, Natasha, their shop. So they have in stock signed copies, any bookshop will get the book, and it's available online and an ebook and all this good thing. Waterstones there is in Brentwood High Street, and any independent bookshop. But I've been into the Chicken and Frog and done some book signings there, so that it's great to have their support.
I love Waterstones as well, but it's lovely to have an independent bookshop.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there are, you know, other bookshops around. I would say I very much like independent bookshops. It's that they're places to go, and it's often have an eclectic choice of books, certainly at the Chicken and Frog, but also Red Line in Colchester, Malden Books also. I love Malden Books. down there. The stream of sales of books is going reasonably well.
Yeah.
I have some dates in the diary for my talks, one with a book group. Yeah. So they'll give me feedback and I'll be able to explain some of my history of writing as well. Yeah.
Excellent. And now, you've got all of your socials, so you can give a little shout out for where people can actually get hold of the book. Yeah. I know it's at Chicken Frog and Waterstones. Mm. Uh-huh. Is it available on sort of download? Is it on...
Amazon and Apple Books as well, for people who like to read it online. From my own website as well. So, in fact, there are some free to download short stories, coffee time stories on my website if people like to dip in, you know, and a bit more information about the Pearl River and the reviews, etc., which is simply markbutterworthauthor.co.uk. www.markbutterworthauthor.co.uk. The book can be ordered through my website as well, direct from the publisher. And a few have been sold there, but I think people like to go into bookshops, you know, it's part of the fun. And that's why they survive and that's why they flourish, I think, despite electronic ways of reading material. Yeah.
Well, I thought they were going to go out of fashion, but the one thing I do is I love a book, the physical book, and I don't want anyone else to touch my book. If it's a new book, you know, you don't want the pages touched. So if I'm on holiday, I've got my little suitcase and I'll have two or three books and they're all new. don't touch that book, no. Don't even touch the cover. Yeah. If you're giving an idea of who would like this, if they've read this type of author, where you would be in that.
Well, Sebastian Faulks is one of my favourite authors. Birdsong, Charlotte Gray, and I suppose it's probably most influential on my writing of the Pearl River and the Berlin Assignment, in that he takes wartime situations with personal relationships and romance and the angst of war and the importance of duty and responsibility. Sebastian Faulks is a great writer. I also like some non-fiction as well. Ben McIntyre obviously wrote a number of books, most recently the story of the breakout from the German prison, Colditz, there we are, it came back to me in the end. I'm a member of a book group myself as well, and actually I've asked, I do not choose any of the books because it makes me read other genres and authors, which is good for a writer, as I said earlier. You've got to read a lot in order to develop your writing skills.
Excellent. It's lovely to talk to you with a book.
Yeah, great.
And the next one that's coming up as well, come back and see us when it's out in February next year.
Indeed, I'd love to do that. Thank you very much, Michelle.
That book is The Pearl River, and that is out now. It sounds fantastic. And if you like what you just heard Mark talking about, go to his website. Always best as well to order the books normally through the author as well, because then it's a little bit better. You know what I mean. You know what I always say, the same thing about ordering music. It goes direct to the source. It always makes a difference. I was going to say, you've got a great voice for radio. Have you actually have you actually read the book for an audio book? Is that something you're going to do?
No. I'm not sure I could trust myself, actually. That I have been asked that. Yeah. And people have said, you know, I've got... I'm from South London, you know, so it's an international accent, you know. So some people have said I should do it. Maybe I will, you know. You've put me on the spot there. Maybe I should do that.
I would. Okay. That's a good idea.
Very good. Thanks,
thank you. Lovely to see you. Lovely to meet you. Thank you.